Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 142 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of an all-time classic in the Champions League, the first leg of the semifinal in Barcelona, Barcelona-Inter, which finished 3-3, a draw heading into the second leg. Goals from Marcus Thuram in the first minute, although technically it was 30 seconds in. Denzel Dumfries in the 21st, Lamine Yamal in the 24th, Ferran Torres in the 38th, Dumfries in the 64th, and then a Sommer own goal officially in the 65th, although a lot of credit has to go to Rafinha there in the 65th minute. So game ends 3-3. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, before we get into it, did this first leg inspire more confidence in you for a team that's been reeling as of late? Or are we still, you know, pretty nervous about what should be a gargantuan task to overcome one of the very best teams in Europe this season?
You know, my mood is more or as bipolar as the way as this club plays. Yesterday I thought after the game, I'm like, we are the greatest team in Europe. We are unbelievable. Even when the chips are stacked against us, we are untouchable. I was overly confident after the game. Now that I had a little bit of time, and let me tell you guys, it is 7 a.m. here in Las Vegas, so I am half asleep. But got to do this for you, the people. But now that I had a little bit of time, like I really do believe that we can get to the final. And it doesn't matter who comes out from that side of the bracket. This is the final. Like, these two teams are the two best teams left in the Champions League. For the good that PSG is doing, and for what I do like about the way that they play now, as opposed to when they had the guys like Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe, they are a much better, more cohesive team. But
they're an actual team as opposed to
when we play at our best, though, which was, again, even though it's a 3-3 draw, which I will say, going into it, I was asked what I thought the score would be. I said 1-1. I'll take 3-3. Either way, it was a draw, so it's not like I was wrong. But I truly, and I'm sure the buy or sell is going to come up, so I'm not going to ask or say what I'm thinking right now, but I really do believe that we can win this UCL and not end this season trophyless.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there are many Interisti that would have said we would score three goals away from home. It's not the Camp Nou, because there's some construction going on there. They're actually playing in Espanyol's stadium, but I'm not sure many Interisti would have signed us up for, you know, would have bet that we would have scored three goals away from home. It is interesting, you know, Henri on the post match for CBS after the game is like, how can there be no reward for a team that goes away in a Champions League semifinal, scores three goals, and the tie is essentially completely even? Like, there is no reward to that, which, you know, he's got a point. I mean, Johnny, you and I growing up on football, like, that was the rule that we understood for so long, and then it's been changed recently, but it is a little weird.
I like the aspect, like, from back then when a 3-3 draw means they need to at least win, obviously win by one goal, or they need to draw 3-3 on the away match. Like, that's the only way, that's the only way that they could force extra time. I think that's so exciting. I think it makes for a more open game when something like that happens. Granted, it could still happen, of course, in a 3-3 draw where now they have to go for it. It is like the last game, like our final now between us. Like, we both have to go for it. But having that, like, almost like a half goal lead or whatever you want to call it from the away goal rule adds another level of drama to a tie like this, especially given our history. You know, like, I mean, we won at home in 2010, 3-1. They had to win 2-0. It was just like crazy. Like, yeah, all right, we lost the game 1-0, but it was the last few minutes. It was insane. My heart was pounding through my chest. How sick would that be if the same type of thing could happen? Or if we get a one goal lead, they know they have to get two. Like, I don't know. It's, yeah. I mean, the same thing could technically happen with this rule, but it just adds a level of drama that, I don't know, I feel like is kind of missing.
Yeah, last year, you know, Inter wouldn't have had to go to penalties against Atletico if the away goal rules was in effect, right? 1-0 at the San Siro and then 2-1 at the Metropolitano. Like, Inter, you know, under the old rules would have been through to the quarterfinals of a Champions League last year if that was the case. So listen,
are you saying UEFA is out to get us?
Whoa, we'll get into that. We will get into that. That is coming up. But it is, you know, just the last piece on this. It is strange for a performance like that, you know, a 3-3 game in one of the most thrilling European games we've seen in a long time, to essentially mean nothing adding into the second leg. Like, it's 0-0, right? Like, these teams are still completely even. So it's almost like 90 minutes of effort that both teams are in the exact same position that they were coming into the tie. So, yeah, we will see how it plays out. But, guys, it's time for a little buy or sell here. We have a lot on the docket today. I try to keep this to 5, but there's just too much to talk about. So we'll get into all of it. First up, buy or sell. Given the context, a Mkhitaryan goal ruled out for offside, DiMarco missing a point-blank opportunity, Inter being 2-0 up 25 minutes into the game, a draw away is a good result for Inter, buy or sell?
I'm buying it. I'm sorry if you disagree. I think when you're the underdog, the most you should be truly... I mean, we all want to win. Let's not, like, get it wrong or twisted there, but if you could leave a match with Barca in Barcelona tied, no matter what the score, 1-1, 4-4, 7-7, like, whatever you want to call it, I think that that's a win, in my opinion. I think that is a huge thing to be able to bring back to your stadium. I love that we are the home team in the second leg once again. I think that that also plays into our hand, not into our hand, you know what I mean, but, like, it gives us an advantage as well. So to be able to leave there with a draw, even though, yes, it is disappointing to blow the 2-goal lead, I'm not going to, like, sit here and say, like, oh, not a big deal, guys. Like, there were some things that bothered me about the way that we blew that lead, which I'm sure we'll get into as well. However, I didn't expect to have a 2-goal lead. I really didn't. And if you did, you're lying to yourself, or you're lying to whoever you're talking to, because with the way we had been playing, the way we played against Roma and Milan, I did not expect anything more than a draw. So to be up to, I was already dreaming. I was getting excited. I was thinking, oh my gosh, it can happen, truly. Gave the 2 goals. But that second half, man, we really saw the change in the tactics. We saw that Inzaghi was able to calm the waters and get the guys to be playing right and playing well on the counter and being able to absorb the pressure that Barca was trying to place on us. It's massive. And one thing that somebody tried to say is, like, oh, you guys aren't doing anything different than Roma did against you guys with the possession. The difference is we were still going after it on the counters. Roma was not. Roma was playing the most anti football I've seen in years, whereas we were taking calculated risks to be able to go forward and not expose us too much at the back. Also, Barcelona was inviting that opportunity. They were leaving loads of space. I just think, you know, we took our chances when we could and we're able to capitalize on them, obviously, by the score. If we're able to button up the other things, because we know that space is going to be there. Barcelona is weak defensively. I'm extremely confident. So, yes, I am going to buy this, even though we could have had the win and we probably should have, but I will buy it.
I'm going to buy it too, but I'll buy it for a different reason than what you stated. Obviously, you know, heading into the second leg without having to make up for a loss in the first leg is huge, especially being at home. But the other aspect of this is I'm going to buy it just from a mental perspective. That would have been four losses on the trot. That's tough for a team mentally. I think it's, you know, even though it's just a draw, from their performance, like they could have had a massive performance yesterday and then lost in the 93rd minute, and it would have been horrifically deflating. So being able to go to Barcelona and get a result, for me, that's huge just for the team's mentality. It does feel like, you know, they're kind of, again, even without a victory, that they've steadied the ship a little bit from a mental perspective. You know, some of the performances from the players are very encouraging for them and what they can bring into the rest of the season here. And speaking of the rest of the season, just to, you know, touch on the news that came out this morning, Simone Inzaghi and Hakan Çalhanoğlu have both been fined and suspended for the Verona match. I don't think anyone is too upset about it. They probably wanted rotation from Inzaghi, not necessarily Inzaghi himself to get rotated. But if Hakan can't play, I think that is a win for a lot of Interisti, especially because he wasn't at his best yesterday. He's going to need to be at his best in the second leg against Barcelona, so let him get some rest here. Yeah. All right, let's get into the next narrative here. Buy or sell, best performance for Dumfries in an Inter kit?
I think before we get into that, I need to address something here. For all of us Interisti who have bad mouth, ridiculed, wished injury, potentially death. I'm not saying it was me wishing that. Called him Brick Freeze, said he wears Timberlands. Threw every negative thing out there. I know someone had some pretty harsh words, who I will not name who that person was. But Huyan, you know who I'm talking about Denzel Dumfries. I want the apology, and I'm doing this on behalf of all Interisti right now. The apology to be as big as the hate was. I have never, and I'm telling you, I said it to Sean McIntosh, I have never been more excited to see Denzel Dumfries in the starting 11 than I was yesterday. And my God, did he deliver. In a way, this was his best performance ever. The passing, which I normally criticize to the ends of the earth, was so perfect. The man was deserving of not one, but two assists. That ball to Mkhitaryan was poetry in motion. And yes, that is the most cliche answer I could have used. But for a guy who looks like he used to move like Lloyd Banks in the early 2000s, now delivering the cross that was so gorgeous it should be hanging in the Louvre, that was unreal. And my God, we do not get this result without Denzel Dumfries. If Darmian starts there, this is a loss, and probably like 3-1 at best.
Yeah.
So happy to see Denzel there. He is now invaluable to this team. Like, I knew, obviously, when the results were going bad and he wasn't there, that we needed him out there. Like, he is a difference, especially the way he's been playing this season. Been phenomenal. But this was the type of performance that takes you from good player to a great player, where you influence it in such a way. The goal that he scored, unbelievable, truly unbelievable. And then the second one, a little lucky, But I think that that was going to go in regardless because of the power that he is able to develop on headers. It just happened to go off of – I thought it went off of Araujo. Some people were telling me it looked like it went off De Jong. I don't care who it goes off of. It went in. And for a second, we had the lead again, and I thought, my gosh, like, we're going to win this. We need listen, I've obviously it's no secret. I love to buy cards for Inter players. I literally during the game, I bought two autographed Denzel Dumfries cards because I'm like, I need more. I have only two in my collection. I was like, I need more Denzel Dumfries. And if we win the Champions League, I'm going to say it right now, right here. And this is a promise. As much as I hate the home kit, I will get Denzel Dumfries on the home kit if we win the UCL. Then it just means I'm getting Lautaro or Thuram on the third kit. But the home kit will have Dumfries on it, and I might wear it once or twice, even though I hate it. But anyway, Dumfries is deserving.
Yeah, I buy this not only for what he did on the pitch yesterday, but also for the magnitude of the game that he did it in. Just a complete and total difference maker. Almost like a third forward at times, the way he was getting down the line, doing things that Darmian, you know, cannot do at this stage of his career anymore. And being such a weapon on those set pieces, it's huge. Like, it's going to be something where Barca needs to game plan for this in the second leg. Like, we need to make sure that Dumfries is not in or around or unmarked or anything around any set pieces in the second leg, because he just has a knack for getting to the ball and you know, putting it in the back of the net. He's such a crucial part of this side, and it leads me to the second part of this buy or sell. Both Thuram and Dumfries were out a period of time here, and we saw the results that that Inter put forth without those two in the squad. Buy or sell Dumfries being the bigger miss than Thuram in these last few games.
That is a tough one. It's tough only because I think Thuram stretches the field for us in a way that when he's not there is insanely missed as well. But you know what? I'm going to buy it, and here's why. When Thuram was gone, Arnautović did have moments where he was able to step up and have big impact for us. Like, we can't forget that. We can't miss that. He was massive. But then when you have Darmian there, and listen, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows my love for Matteo Darmian, but he is not a right wing back anymore, and he should only be used. Like, I think it would be better if you use Darmian as the right center back and let Bisek play right wing back when Dumfries is unavailable. That's the, like, one is more solid defensively and can't go forward. The other is less solid, but can. He loves taking marauding runs on that right side. And I thought that he actually did well with those runs with Dumfries. And I think that they did a good job, like, covering for one another in those instances. But yes, buying that Dumfries is more important than Thuram. And I do need to throw one more thing in before I forget. On the third goal, at that point, that Emmy was on the pitch. I was watching the game with Sean and a couple of my other coworkers there. Had some Real Madrid fans who asked to borrow Inter kits at work so that they could rub it in the one Barcelona fan's face that we had there. So I hooked them up with a couple of kits from my collection. But on that third goal, Sean goes, Taremi's moment right here. And I'll be honest, I said, listen, the last thing I want is for Nima to have a bullet in his in the chamber where he could, like, start praising Taremi like he's some hero. And I came out and said, I was like, no, second goal for Dumfries right here on this corner. And he did. And if I would have put money on that in real time, I found out the odds were plus 1,800 If I threw a hundo, which, okay, I need to say this right now so no one like reports me, but I know because I work in soccer now, I can't bet on soccer. But if I could have, I would have.
Would have been a rich man. Oh, my God.
Would have had a nice chunk of change to thanks to Denzel Dumfries. But anyway.
Yeah, I have to buy it as well. This team relies on the width so much in order to do a lot of the, you know, the good things that they do, that if it's, you know, Thuram, Lautaro with Darmian out there in the games that we've seen, if you look at the pass maps, we almost exclusively play through the left side because we can't really build anything on the right side. So taking out, you know, half of your team or the ability to play on the other flank, I think really, really hurt Inter in those games. So even if it is Arnautovic or Taremi partnering Lautaro, the team itself is more dangerous being able to take advantage of that right flank. Not to mention, like, he's a goal scorer, you know, in and of itself. Like, he can create things on his own. It's like I said earlier, like, at times he's like a third forward with the way he's able to get up the pitch and make an impact on set pieces and so forth. So, as you know, based on the discourse around Dumfries a long time ago, it seems crazy to say, but I think he's way more important to this team than I would have ever expected him to be. And it's looking like that contract renewal has been a bargain, honestly. So, yeah, Dumfries, the more important piece of this team than Thuram when we have, you know, when we have to choose between one of them. All right,
real quick, like, do you just like think, or maybe it's me, that since the contract renewal, that's almost been like the shift in him as well? Like, it was like maybe weighing on him, you know, and obviously we're not there. We don't know how these types of contracts and these types of situations can weigh on a player and kind of make it hard to focus on what it is you have to do. Do you think that now that like there is that like certainty that your future is kind of secured, at least with the club? I mean, of course, you know, I'm not saying I want to sell him, but there are opportunities where a team can come in with a ridiculous offer and Inter decides to sell. But do you think that that's kind of just alleviated some of that and allowed him to play more freely?
Yeah, we've had conversations like this in the past because there was a shift in his play once that contract did come through. And I do think that there is something to it. It's one thing to feel like appreciated and secure. But it's another thing, like when your future is up in the air, you don't know if, you know, an offer is going to come in and they're going to take it, or, you know, especially in a period where he was much maligned and was sort of target number one for Interisti, upset with the team and upset with the performances. I definitely think it makes a difference. He's also, in this time, like, he has taken on the captain's armband. Like, he, you know, they did give it to him for that game, which, you know, it has to mean something for him. He's turned into a cult hero. So having that security, you know, through his age 31 season or 32 season, I think it does make a big difference as far as the mentality is concerned. And, you know, this is the Dumfries that we need in order to be successful. If we're going to be a Champions League winning side, he needs to continue this vein of form and this importance that he has to the team. All right, next, buy or sell. Lautaro comes off at the end of the first half with an injury that looks like it's definitely going to keep him out of Verona. Initial reports are that it's going to be tough for him to make it to Barcelona. I take those, make it to the Barcelona second leg. I take those with a grain of salt because the same thing was said about Thuram, and he ended up putting in, you know, a shift for us yesterday. So, you know, we'll see how things shake out. He has the exams tomorrow, but the question is, we do not have a chance in the second leg without Lautaro. Buy or sell?
I'm selling. Even when he was healthy, it felt like he was having limited impact. Yeah. Not saying that he played poorly. I just think that he, you know, just wasn't having the impact out there. He was getting kind of lost in space, and the game wasn't being, you know, normally dictated through him up front. Now, that's not always a bad thing. You obviously, when we play with a front two, it can go that way. But I still think that we can win without him. I think it'll be better to play Arnautović with Thuram in the second leg. I think that you see, although Taremi had a good cameo, I won't say anything negative about it. I thought his link up play was way better. He was working harder than I'd ever see him. And maybe now he's finally getting healthy and that confidence is coming back, possibly. Maybe you roll the die. I honestly, and I don't know if this is something we'll talk about later, but I would let Arnautović and Taremi start the Hellas game and see how that goes. I would much rather see them, you know, I think that if you could get them two goals, let's say, hypothetically, that takes that level of confidence to the next level. And they are not to be for sure. We haven't seen with that Emmy, but if he feels good, he plays good. And I think that if he's able to have that opportunity to get on the score sheet, that'll definitely be loads of confidence going into the Barcelona game. So I would want to see that, like one of the two. But as much as I love Lautaro, and we know how invaluable he is to this team, I don't think that, listen, would I rather him be out there? 100%. I think you would feel the same way, of course. Anyone listening to this would say that. But given the way things kind of went yesterday, now, of course, recency bias as well, it is a little bit better for us. Not better. It's not the word. I still feel better about what we can do in the second leg, even without Lautaro.
I'm going to sell it as well. The 45 minutes that we saw from Taremi yesterday gives me, you know, a little bit more confidence, because we don't necessarily need him to be Lautaro, but we need him to do what he did yesterday, which was close down the space, retain the ball when we're playing out of the back, lay it off to, you know, the more skilled players like Barella that can unlock a pass. And he himself has some good passing. There were a couple wayward moments, but he does have, you know, some technique to him. Same thing with Arnautović. We know he's got loads of technique. But the main reason that I'm selling this is that I don't necessarily know that a Lautaro that's at 40%, which is what we saw in the first half yesterday, he clearly came into the game a little bit hobbled. I don't know that a Lautaro at 40% is going to be better than, you know, let's say Taremi at 85 or 90, or Arnautović at 90%. You need 11 players that are able to give it their all, especially in a big match like that. And if Lautaro is hobbled, like, then maybe the best thing for him is to not eat up minutes from players who can give a little bit more effort. Not that Lautaro doesn't give effort. Like, at 40%, he's giving everything that he has, but you notice that it's not helping the team, and it's not good for him. I do want him to be available for that second leg. I do hope he's available. But
same.
I don't throw away Inter's chances if he's unable to make it. All right. Buy or sell. DiMarco cannot start the second leg against Barcelona.
Buying this as if the stocks were so low and I know it's about to skyrocket. That's how hard I'm buying this. I think we win this game easily if Carlos Augusto is playing. I mean, it would be huge to have him start. And then let's say we have a two-goal lead for whatever sake. I mean, I'm not sure that that'll happen again, but let's say we do in this leg. Then when there's going to be loads of space and loads of desperation, maybe the last 15 minutes, you're able to throw DiMarco on, and then he's able to just send his balls with players running, making those diagonal runs, and you're maybe able to get another goal in those situations. That's when I feel comfortable with DiMarco out there. Yesterday, that first goal by Lamine Yamal, right?
Skinned Mkhitaryan, like skinned him.
Yes, and I don't think if Augusto is there, like that is brilliance.
Best player in the world energy is what it is.
I mean, he is. He really is. Like, I wasn't even mad. I really wasn't. Like, yes, of course, I don't want to give the goal. But I'm like, no one's stopping that. He is unbelievable. He's 17 years old, and he's doing things we've never seen. And the vision that he has and the ball playing that he had, like, there was a lot of crosses he was sending in there that were so scary, so yeah. scary.
I actually really enjoy watching him play. I know I'm not a Barcelona. No, I'm hate hater. Barcelona, but yep. he is terrific. Like, and I can't.
It pisses me off that they have two of the most generational talents. Now, granted, credit to them that they do it through their academy, and it's not like they went and bought these guys like Real Madrid does. But it is annoying that you go literally from Messi to Lamine Yamal now. But anyway, that goal. He's doing that to every club. Doesn't matter who's defending him. What, I mean, literally four guys were around him in the box, and he gets it all, you know, far post in. Unbelievable. Like, the second one, again, now, if you go back and look at that goal.
That Barca's second?
Yes. A few minutes before, there is an opportunity for us to hit on the counter. Barella has the ball. He's got Hakan to his left. He could have played the short pass, which would have been the smarter thing. It would have been kind of a drop back pass. Instead, he tried to play the ball across to Di Marco, hits it a little too hard. It goes over his head. Barcelona gets possession back, and then they're able to develop that second goal. I think, you know, it kind of stems from that. But then also, you know, you had Mkhitaryan backing off of Pedri on that cross into the box. I don't know why you're giving him loads of space. That was frustrating on that one. And that leads to the second opportunity. Now, I think if you have Augusto there, this is where I was really trying to get to with all this. Augusto closes the space better. He will be on top of him. Di Marco, we know, drops off his man all the time. That is one of the most frustrating things we've seen. So yeah. I don't know if that those chances. Well, the first one, yes, but I don't know if that happens in the second one, right? You have to play him, in my opinion, in the second game to start. And then against tired legs, against desperate minds, then you're able to throw Di Marco on, where his presence on the pitch is not going to be as impactful in a negative way, especially defensively, right? Maybe that's a time, too, where you consider taking Bastoni off and letting Augusto play back there, because after yesterday, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to, like, drag Bastoni with this. He was very poor yesterday, not just defensively, but also with his passing and decision making.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't start Bastoni. You have to. But I think maybe, like we've seen in the past, where, yeah, you sub him off, bring Di Marco on, and you drop Augusto back. That might be the play, in my opinion, at that time.
Before I get into Di Marco, but one thing on Bastoni, I think Di Marco was hurting Bastoni yesterday. I think a Di Marco in this form wasn't providing the right outlet for Bastoni. And I think you heard him as far as just the buildup and offensive play is concerned. So here's the thing. I buy this very, very hard. This Di Marco is not better than this Carlos Augusto. He's not.
Correct. Correct.
He was on the pitch. The decision to start Di Marco, in my opinion, was to keep Barcelona honest. You have, you know, a wing back that can make stuff happen on the left-hand side, and it's to keep, you know, Barca's press a little bit honest and not to leave Di Marco by himself. On this form, Di Marco can't make that a reality. He couldn't make them pay. And if we're talking strictly on merit, Augusto is above him right now, just in terms of how they're performing. It's just a reality. He's definitely better defensively. And if Di Marco is not able to offensively be what he was earlier in the season, last season, for whatever reason, he's been carrying, you know, a few injuries all season, maybe a mentally a little fried. But if he can't be that, and Augusto can be at the height of his powers, it's not a significant drop-off. Even offensively, it's not. It's different. You're not going to see these, like, you know, 40-yard whipped balls across the field to Dumfries. But he's got a lot of forza when he carries the ball up the pitch. And I don't think Inter are worse when Augusto is on the pitch. I don't.
Not at all. Not at all.
I don't. I think he brings a lot that Di Marco can't right now. you know, our favorite Gardner, who we don't always agree with, but he tweeted this morning that Augusto should be in consideration for starting next year. And I don't entirely disagree with that. Just based off of merit, like, I think there's a lot more in the Augusto tank that has yet to be realized that, you know, I would like to see more of. This team is better defensively when he's on the pitch. And offensively, like I said earlier, right now, I can't say that having DeMarco on is more dangerous. He just doesn't look like he used to look. He just doesn't look like we used to look. And Augusto has performed in the Champions League. That first leg against Bayern, he was huge. He was absolutely huge. So, yeah, I would like to see Augusto start the second leg. I buy it. You know, and I think he can do that. I have full confidence that he can do the job. All right. Two more here. Wayfalona was on full display. I think Eric Garcia is the one that gets the handball, which I'm annoyed at Barella for stopping and not playing that through.
Same.
But there was no review. No review there on what could have potentially been a red card challenge. And then I'm not going to buy into conspiracy theories or anything like that. But that offside, those images didn't come until much later.
Way later.
They're very strange because there are angles where it does look onside. The other strange part about it is that someone is circulating a story that, like, there's this Barcelona executive and that his nephew was on VAR yesterday. Again, like, I don't want to circulate conspiracy theories, but
I do.
It felt sketchy. It did feel very sketchy. So, buy or sell, Wayfalona was in play yesterday.
I do think it's in play, as usual with them. Although I didn't think the Eric Garcia handball claim was a handball when they finally showed the replay, you do got to go to it. Maybe the angle you showed me didn't look convincing. And maybe it actually was, like, obviously for Barella to react the way he did, it is frustrating that he stopped, because I think he still could have had possession of the ball had he just continued running.
He would have.
But, like, it was a tough to see. So, like, yeah, why didn't we even check? Obviously, the claim by Dumfries on I forgot who it was that slid in.
Araujo.
It was Araujo? Yeah. Okay, yeah. No handball there. Like, it clearly goes off his thigh. But again, no checks, like, even just to confirm it, like, I'm not expecting you to go have the call go my way, but just make sure, guys, nothing. And that the offside, every angle you showed me until you did that one where it's like the drastic change from the knee, all of a sudden, like, the foot is there. Like, I'm of the mindset where you're only offside if your whole body, like, I think the rule should be your whole body has to be offside. Your forehead leaning a little more. Like, there's times where you see, like, I mean, there was one that went against Juventus that the heel, like, so he was back to goal and the heel was offside. How did that give an advantage? Because he still has to turn and take the shot. Like, this.
There was an egregious one on Lorenzo Luca earlier this season.
Yep. That was wow. Yeah. I forgot about that one. It's just we're ruining the game with how and again, it's also subjective on when you think the ball is off the foot, right? So what if his foot was a little back as he was going into stride, you know, like when that actually was hit? It's frustrating. And again, had this gone against us, I would feel, had gone in our favor where Barcelona was offside, I would be like, wow, we got away with
it. Got away, yeah.
Yeah, like, and you can't tell me you don't feel that way. Like, if you're an Interista and it went that, you know, for us in an instance like that. His big toe is off. Does that really make the difference between, he had to control the ball
take the time and finish. It's not like it was bang, bang, right? Where, okay, maybe that instance, he had to control it. He dribbled into the box a little bit more and took the shot. It doesn't change the outcome. That toe, it doesn't. Same thing where if his shoulder was off, right? Like, let's say he was leaning forward and his shoulder, did that make the difference? What did that play into the goal? Nothing, right? It just drives me insane that this is, that we're doing it now within millimeters.
Yeah.
And ruling onside or offside there. In real time, it doesn't look offside. When you just do it without that CGI, you know, animated image, it looks onside. It's just impossible to tell, and it's frustrating that's where we're at with it.
The question for me, so I'm gonna okay, I'll buy it. I'll buy that way Falona was on display. On each incident, the question for me is, let's start with the offside. What advantage did Mkhitaryan have in that instance? If his, let's say the images are not, you know, altered, whatever it is, what advantage did he have by having his big toe slightly in front of Kubarsi's knee? What advantage did that create? Isn't the whole point of offside, it's like, there's an advantage. They were behind the line, you know, whatever it is. I don't see how that possibly could have changed the outcome. I don't. So I don't love that. I don't love how late the image came. You know, yeah. And then for the handball on Garcia, that's for me the more egregious one, because they go to VAR for everything. Any little thing, they'll go to VAR. For that not to even get reviewed, and it's not like it's a handball in the middle of the park. It was a breakaway. It would have been one-on-one. How are you not going to it? And what worries me is that these two instances take place in the second leg. Let's say these two instances take place in a Champions League final. Ooh. These are huge, huge calls to be making. Huge, huge calls to be making. So, I don't know. I don't know what you expect me to say other than, you know, Wojfalona was on full display if both incidences go in favor of Barcelona. One where there's not even a review, and two where there's a review that's like, come on. Come on. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get into the conspiracy theory of it, but it did feel a little like robbery, I'm not going to lie. All right, last buy or sell. Inter are the favorites to go through to the Champions League final.
I'm selling that. I'm selling that. I think they're favorites to me. I think to the grand majority of people, we are not the favorites. I think people are going to... And I'm not saying they're wrong, but like, you have the ultimate X factor in Lamine Yamal. Anything is possible with him. There's rumors that Lewandowski may be ready for the second leg.
Yep,
I don't see that. I don't know if that's, you know, obviously gonna be true or come to fruition, but he is a threat in front of goal. He is very good at finding those pockets of space where he loses his man and is able to be clean on goal or have a free header and stuff like that. So it is something to be considered of. Now, that doesn't mean that we have no shot. That's not what I'm saying. I just think most people would say that Barcelona are the favorites to go forward, and that if they are able to button up defensively, which I don't think they are capable of, I think that, you know, if Inigo Martinez and Eric Garcia are actual starters in this team, we have the greatest chance to get through. But I think, you know, the vast majority will disagree. But and that's fine. I would rather be the underdogs. I would much rather be the underdogs, because when we've been the favorites, even this season, let's say, it hasn't been good, right? Look at what we did against Juve. Look at what we did against pretty much every matchup with Milan. I would rather be fighting from a plate like just how we were with Bayern Munich. I would rather be having to fight back or you know, have the odds stacked against us in those instances. So
yeah, we're not the favorites. We aren't. And I can put it down simply to when the best player in the world is on the other team, that team is the favorite. They have a player who can make something out of nothing. They have a player who genuinely can be unstoppable. So no, Inter are not the favorites to go through, but confidence is high. Okay. Johnny, I have 14 minutes left here, so we got to go pretty quick.
Let's hurry.
So let's do two things. One, let's touch on one player that we want to highlight from this game, their performance. One player for a good performance, one player for a bad performance. Quickly, I'll just say I think Sommer should be talked about in a positive light. Despite the own goal, despite whatever, he had some reaction saves that were incredible. There was one on Lamine when he skinned DiMarco. I tweeted it out this morning. Go check my Twitter. The reaction time to push that onto the bar was crazy.
Insane.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. So shout out to Jan Sommer. Also thought he distributed the ball super well against a really aggressive press from Barcelona. And then the other player that I want to highlight that needs to be better, if Pavard's not back for that second leg, Bissek, it's almost every game, not, you know, against Milan in the Coppa Italia withstanding, where there's a moment where he switches off. And on Barcelona's second goal, Acerbi and Bissek not being on the same page there, I think was a major reason for that goal. I just think Bissek has a moment in him where he will switch off, and that's all it takes for a team to kill you. So I'm going to say he needs to, you know, be better if Pavard can't come back for the second leg.
Okay. I'm going to double dip here. Even though we already talked about him, I got to talk some more about Denzel Dumfries. And I'm just so happy that he's back. I think he could be the deciding factor in actually getting through in the second leg. And if he's able to perform the way he did today, I'm not even saying he has to do goals. I'm just saying the performance with the effort, the passing, things that I've never seen him really be able to do with the crosses were just unbelievable. I'm more impressed with the crosses, to be honest, than the goal scoring, which is, I mean, a huge touch, an addition of obviously given that we finished 3-3. But I just loved the way he played. He is a mental giant, monster. Titan, whatever you want to call him, he is it. And he led like a captain today, and I am just so thankful to have him back. Hui, and this episode's for you, man. It really is. Like, so I don't want to ever hear you say that we don't give enough love to Denzel Dumfries. We do way more than that other guy from Gothenburg. You know what I'm saying? And then in terms of bad, Henrik Mkhitaryan, like, just the goal would have obviously.
I completely disagree.
Forget, nah, man. He ran his
ass off.
So, dude, I could run my ass off, and I would be ineffective. I'd be backing off of players too. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I'm any better, but if you close down Pedri, that cross doesn't get in. If you are, you know, assisting a little bit more on that back with Yamal, who knows what happens? Maybe you commit a foul. I thought, I don't know, I just did not like the performance. Running doesn't mean effectiveness. It just doesn't. But ooh. I don't know. I'm not.
You're going to get some shit from
I
folks.
I don't care. Cool. Give it to me. This is the point. We're fans. We could disagree. We could see things differently.
Yeah. All right. Let's run through these fan questions really quick, and then we'll get to the speak pipe. Huyan, up first. If you could bring one Inter legend out of retirement for this game, who would it be, and who would you replace in the lineup?
So easy for me.
Diego Milito.
You're going to say Milito?
Yeah.
Okay.
Champions League.
I love that pick. His name popped in my head, but if you put Adriano with his pace and power, my God.
Yeah.
Prime Adriano. with this. Yeah. Actually, the thing is, I don't know how he would do in a back three. I was thinking maybe Samuel for Bisek.
Yeah, it would be tough on the right hand side.
It would be tough though. Oh, well, he'd be tough, but like it would be tough. His not the fastest, but he's a wall. All right, you and striker. I'll go Samuel. I'll go Samuel with a defender just so we can do different.
All right.
Although I love Adriano. Sorry, Adriano. Anyway.
Me too. All right, Mouad El Sharif. What's Inter lacking to compete with Europe's giants? Nothing. They are quite literally competing.
We're lacking money.
But in terms of the team on display, like we play these guys, we're in the top four in Europe. So anyway,
money guys.
David Newell, Dumfries or Yamal, who's the better player? They're probably equally important to their teams. But Yamal is the best player in the world.
Yamal is the best player in the world. As much as I'm praising Dumfries, if you told me we could have Lamine Yamal tomorrow. And the sacrifice had to be Dumfries. I unfortunately would be making that move.
A person who was or is your favorite player to play for Inter and Barcelona. I'll go Samuel Eto'o.
I'll go Luis Figo.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
I love Figo.
Yes, that Andre, who partners Thuram at San Siro with Lauti, may be out. I think based off of the game yesterday, he goes with Taremi.
And I'm going to say he actually goes with Arnautovic.
Nick Costa, on a scale from 9 to 10, how excited are you guys never to see Mkhitaryan in an Inter kit again?
11!
I can't. Who are you going to go with? Fratesi? Zielinski?
His name is Peter Sucic, and he's coming in the summer.
Okay, he's coming in the summer. Mike Guerrieri, do you guys think Acerbi and De Vrij could both start in the return leg? No, I don't think De Vrij is going to be 90 minutes on the right center back position.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't, as much as I would feel better defensively, I just don't think that, I mean, that's not his position, and I don't know if I'd want to test that against Barcelona.
Yeah, and I don't think Inzaghi is going to go there. All right, we have one speak pipe. Our boy.
I thought it was a very gutsy effort by Inter today. Show their true balls, as the Capitano said. Again, bitten by the injury bug. Hopefully, Alpato can recover in time for the second leg. Not sure about the subs at the end, especially Thuram with 80 minutes. Just let him play the last 10. But overall, amazing, gutsy performance by Inter Milan on Barca's home soil. We play on Forza Ragazzi, Forza Inter, Andiamo. Gino Panino from Vancouver.
It's Gino Panino from Vancouver. I love the sound of the sign off with him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. All eyes are going to be on Lautaro and the preparation.
I got to reach out. There's another podcast that has like that voicemail integration in their podcast. I got to find out what they're using because it would be nice to not have to do it the way we are doing it right now. There has to be.
I agree. If anyone has ideas, let us know. All right, so to sign off here, Inter plays Verona this weekend. Full rotation should be in play here. I know, you know, we're technically still in the Scudetto race, but it is Verona. It is at home. And, like, I don't know, Aslani is on his way out, or it seems like that. So is, you know, Fratesi. Correa, like there are a bunch of players who are not going to be in the Inter kit next season. Like, do your job, sign off your Inter career here, pick up a win against Verona.
Barenbrook, please, just start Barenbrook for me.
Depieri, like, I mean,
Depieri, like, try something new. Try a 3-4-3 for all I care. Anyway,
yeah, they shouldn't. They should be able to whatever combination they throw out. They should be able to win the game. If we're being honest. And then also, guys, we are partnering up with a new podcast network details will be coming out shortly, but we're really excited about it. You know, you might start hearing ads on the pod and all that good stuff. We are stepping up in the world, I guess, one step at a time. And yeah, we're really excited to announce that once it's all signed, sealed, and delivered. But I know I'm excited about it. I don't know, Johnny, if you wanted to say anything about that.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, we got to have the meeting with them and discuss goals and discuss what we're hoping to get out of this and how we want to see it grow. And we want to be able to get out to more Interisti or more even Calcio fans. You know, it doesn't have to just be Inter fans who listen to us. I listen to other podcasts that cover Serie A and the league as a whole, just because I like to hear other people's takes and see what they're saying and thinking. So to get out in front of more fans and more potential listeners, like, that's really the goal. Like, we want to be able to keep growing this community. I love all the people who do interact with us and do, you know, send in questions and speak pipes and stuff. You know, it's amazing. But we just want to keep growing, and you know, who knows, maybe one day this could be our full time thing for all I know, and that'd be,
imagine,
the most fun thing for me to be able to do day in, day out. But yeah, we hope that, you know, you continue this journey with us. Obviously, you've been here since day one. Many of you have, and I can't tell you how grateful we are for that. And I don't even think we'd be getting this opportunity had it not been for you guys, of course. So hats off to each and every single one of you. I wish I could name everyone individually, but you guys know who you are and who we interact with on a regular basis. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure Alessandro feels the same, thank you. Really, thank you for that. And I hope that, you know, we're able to just continue to put out great content that you want to be a part of.
I second all of that. Yeah, it's exciting times for us, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to put out even more. You know, we both have some pretty busy schedules, but you know, we'd like to give you guys as much content as we can, and you know, within reason. So we are we're working it out. All right, see you this weekend. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.